CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Harry Siegel, columnist for the New York Daily News, op-ed editor at the Daily Beast, to attend to New York City in recovery, if it is. Harry, a very good evening to you. You very carefully have explicated New York's transformation from a city demanding workers in a very big growth story in February of 2020 through the depths of the pandemic. The vaccine arrives. The recovery is in place, according to all reporting of the national scene, the national GDP, the demand, the spending, the trillions being that were saved, being converted into consumer goods. But in these last days, the question is raised about what about New York? Is it coming back? I had not been in New York for many months, and then I had occasion to go into the city for a Saturday afternoon to my apartment that I hadn't been for many months. I was surprised, Harry, to see a number of storefronts papered over or franchise logos removed from the marquees or new hours for franchises like Pret. And even at Grand Central, which is a hub of activity on Saturday afternoons, I did not see bustle. I see lots of young people. I didn't see boomers, my age group, and I didn't see many of the Gen Xers, except for the professionals like police. So the question here is, what's happened in these 5 months? The country's in recovery. Is Manhattan left out? Good evening to you, Harry.
Good evening, John. So after the financial crash in 2008, New York had a remarkably swift recovery. After 9/11, New York had a really swift recovery, faster than the national one. It really looks like this time around, it could be the other way, and the country could recover while we lag significantly. The unemployment rate here is still over 10%. Midtown is hollowed out. We have all of this federal aid that's helping to paper some of this over, at least when it's getting spent. And some of it, by the way, is not getting spent. We got $2.7 billion in rent relief. And the federal eviction moratorium just ended. New York still has one. It's not clear how much longer that'll go for. $100,000 of that $2.7 billion has been given out as of a few days ago. So it seems like there's a real chance that this is going to be, for all the recovery summer talk, for Bill de Blasio's special concerts coming up in August and all of that, that this could really be a long, hard climb. And the fear is that some sort of decline spiral sets in, where if Midtown isn't populated and office workers aren't returning and people start ending their leases, and then the places that cater to those office workers start closing down, those workers don't have jobs, this could cascade and present really significant new challenges of a sort New York really hasn't dealt with in at least my adult lifetime. Decline problems as opposed to growth problems. I'm not predicting that, but there's some ominous signs at this point, and things clearly aren't just going to fix or heal themselves at the rate we're going, and that precedes the new CDC guidance and all that. What happens to the office space is a big outstanding question that I think is going to show us how deep a hole we're in, and at the moment we still don't fully know.
I report from a colleague taking a walk from the Upper West Side in the low 100s, Columbia University, down West End or down Broadway to 72nd. This is the heart of the Upper West Side, which you better have several million dollars if you want two bedrooms. Okay, fine. I report that it's the same story that I saw in Midtown, which is papered over storefronts and missing marquees along Broadway, along that strip of high-end consumption. Harry, I'm aware that things are bad and that people left the city, but what's becoming clear is the franchisers themselves have left the city, and I see no compulsion for them to go back unless they get leadership. So let's go to that question. Is de Blasio responding to what I saw on Saturday, or what is he doing?
So de Blasio is trying to make sure that we don't have another significant Delta virus surge. But he's trying to do this without alienating the unions, that are pretty fiercely opposed to a mandate. And so he's now pushing a pseudo mandate in which you either have to get a vaccine, and the rates for large parts of the city workforce, including police officers, for instance, are below that, well below that of the city as a whole, or get tested once a week or even more frequently. Cuomo is now following suit and doing the same thing with MTA and Port Authority workers. And the hope is that if we can avoid another surge, businesses start repopulating. They can impose their own mandates on their workers, and we can get to a point of relative safety at which growth can maybe resume and we can capture some, you know, start at some new normal. But we're not even there quite yet. And obviously, you know, New York is not an island. Manhattan is. Brooklyn and the Queens are part of one. Staten Island is, but the city is not. And so whatever happens here, then there's the question of what happens with tourism, which is also way down, by the way, although starting to recover. So I do think that these leaders are trying to answer some of these questions and get there. I think the business community is increasingly concerned. And after this new CDC masking guidance, and we're going to see what happens by the time we get to the fall with how many kids are in the schools, with how many people are going to work in these office buildings, and how deep the hole we are in is. In the meantime, obviously, Eric Adams is looming as the Democratic candidate and very likely next mayor, but doesn't have all that much power yet. And I think he's happy to have this problem for the time being in de Blasio's lap and Cuomo's lap. Cuomo, by the way, you know, who when he wants power, when he thinks he's going to be able to claim success as a real buck stops here guy, is very much a pass the buck guy when it's going the other way. So he's stressing right now that he doesn't have the emergency powers he did, that he can't mandate much of anything, and it's all up to the localities. He's not really offering them any help in getting this done. He's just saying that this is their problem and they should deal with it. So that to me is an indicator that this is a serious problem and is one that consequently he's looking to blame other people for in advance. And I don't think that's really leadership, and I do think it's an ominous sign about where we might be headed.
In California, the other model that I have for a strong-minded governor, Governor Newsom, with a state where there's one party dominating the conversation, Governor Newsom has billions that perhaps he hasn't given out, but he's promising in all directions from the federal largesse. I'm told that California doesn't have a surplus except for that money coming from Washington. Isn't that true for New York, the same kind of state that California is? A lot of money?
So California, I don't think they've gone out yet, but they're sending stimulus checks, which I think are going to be the biggest tax, state tax rebate in American history, like directly to most Californians, like $600 for adults and another $500 for families with kids. There's renter's assistance. So they seem to be putting this surge of federal money to immediate use in a way we're not entirely seeing in New York, or at least it isn't going directly to, you know, people's mailboxes or their banking accounts. And it'll probably be a few years before we see which of these is a better approach. I note that this is happening in California as Governor Gavin Newsom is facing a recall effort, which might make it that much more appealing to have checks, from his office and I think with his name on them going out. With Cuomo, we'll see. He's up for election next year. We're in a much better financial position than we would have been in without this federal aid, but it's been used more quietly, mostly to stabilize efforts. I do think that the whether or not this eviction help, this rental assistance ends up coming is a big question. And by the way, that's not just a big question for renters who could really use the help. It's a big question for landlords,
right,
who want to be paid and then have their own bills to pay.
One positive note. I have not seen it, but I'm told that Brooklyn is doing extremely well, Harry, and that's important to you. You live in Brooklyn. You know Brooklyn your whole life. You know Brooklyn your father's whole life. So it's wonderful. I'm also told that millennials, the future, have all agreed that Brooklyn is the place. Is that accurate, Harry, and isn't that wonderful?
Brooklyn is doing all right, in part because we don't have the office density that Manhattan does. There's more than it used to be, but this is residential in large part. And it's young people. And young people want to be where the other young people are, and they want to mingle and be seen and find each other. And that's nice. And there's a much more active life here than there was a year ago, for instance. And hopefully that turns out to be fine health-wise, and it turns out to be good for all these people. But, John, if Manhattan doesn't recover, the magnetism of Brooklyn is going to be seriously diminished. People want to be where other people are. Some of those people need to be where the jobs are. You know, all of these different social layers and economies sort of overlap. And without that office space, and I'm not a big fan of offices myself, I am worried that the social arrangements as we've understood them up to this point are subject to really serious and steep change and pretty rapidly.
Harry Siegel for the New York Daily News. He's a columnist. He's the op-ed editor at the Daily Beast. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.